You are what you think, believe, and desire. This is true not only because we have observed it to be so, but also because it is the way that God designed us to function. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life." In other words, you are what you think, believe, and desire. What we take into our mind impacts how we respond to our emotions and informs our will to believe God's truth or the world's lies. For this reason, it is of crucial importance for the believer in Christ to think rightly and to develop a Christian mind. Welcome to Delight in the Word, the preaching ministry of Paul Tauchus, pastor at Cornerstone Community Church in Cleveland, Ohio. In today's broadcast, Pastor Paul preaches from Psalm 1 in a message titled, "Meditate on God's Word," and explains why God's Word must take a place of primary importance in the lives of Christians. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 1 as we together delight in the Word.
Your success as a follower of Christ, in the eyes of God, not necessarily in the eyes of man, is directly connected to the priority that you place upon the Word of God. Did you get that? Your success as a follower of Jesus Christ is directly connected to your dedication or your priorities concerning the Scriptures. See, because biblically, success is measured by one's faithfulness to God, not by his fame, not by his accumulation of material things, but in God's eyes, success is this. Success is daily meditating on the Word of God to the extent that it stirs your heart to worship, renews your mind to think biblically, and then transforms your life into Christ-likeness. This is clearly stated by God himself to Joshua before the successor of Moses led the people into the promised land. God said this, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous," and then listen, "and then you will have good success." So success in the eyes of God has to do with our relationship to the Word of God and our response to Him in His Word. It is appropriate then that the Old Testament book of worship begins with the same theme, the book of Psalms, which is the Jewish hymn book, you might call it that. It is a collection of 150 songs written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 1 defines success according to God. It spells out the essential difference between a godly person and a worldly person. You'll notice that it begins by describing the person who is a success in God's eyes, and it ends with a description of the wicked. That is the kind of person who is outside of the family of God. Look at Psalm 1 with me. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Now let me say at the outset, this is not a time to think about obeying this sermon. This is a time to plan on obeying this sermon. This is so critical, this is so foundational, God wants a response from you this morning. Not merely to listen, though that is where it begins, but to act upon his word. And here we find two significant actions that God wants you to take. Number one, follow the blessed path of the righteous. That's verses 1, 2, and 3. God wants you to follow the blessed path of the righteous. Now, what does that mean? Well, look at how it begins. Blessed is the man, or exceedingly happy is the person who follows the path of God. This word blessed is rich. The New Testament version of it you find in Matthew 5, where we have the Beatitudes, or Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are, blessed, 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 happy, 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 exceedingly happy, the psalmist says, is the person who walks in the path of the Lord. And the first three verses here describe the godly person, what he does not do and what he does. So notice that living within the blessing of God is directly connected to one's attitude toward the Scriptures. If you want to experience the fullness of God's blessing, you must walk in the obedience of faith. And that requires two ongoing disciplines working side by side. First is negative and the second is positive. Notice the first. Avoid ungodly counsel and influence. God wants you to avoid ungodly counsel and influence. Now notice what the blessed man avoids. Blessed is the man who walks not, you should circle that in your Bible, not, walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So verse 1 is what the godly man does not do. The man who is exceedingly happy to walk in the path of God is a man who avoids ungodly counsel and influence. He avoids the subtle and deceptive downward steps toward compromise with sin. He avoids the path of the wicked, which follows a pattern of compromise. You see it there. First, it begins with walking, and then the walking stops, and it becomes standing, and then the standing becomes sitting. This is a three-step progression of compromise into sin. We see this illustrated for us, painfully illustrated, in the life of an Old Testament man named Lot. Genesis 13 and 14 record this. It says in Genesis 13, 10, that first of all, Lot lifted up his eyes toward the fertile valley where Sodom was. So first his eyes were looking toward the fertile valley. Then, two verses later, it says he moved into the valley. So first he was looking at the valley and how fertile and lush and prosperous it was. Then he moved into the valley, and it says he then pitched his tent toward Sodom so that his eyes could always be upon it. And then in the very next chapter, what do we find? We find he is living in the city of Sodom. Why did Lot do that? Well, because he was not careful to avoid what the blessed man avoids. He did the opposite of the Psalm 1 man. He was walking along and he saw the fertile valley and he thought, that looks really, really good. Then he stopped. He looked at it some more. Then he moved closer. Then he pitched his tent so that he could always be looking at it. And then finally, he just moves himself right in. That's exactly what happens when we sin. When patterns of sin develop in our lives, it's because of that downward cycle of compromise. It's a danger that lies before us. Many followers of Christ are falling for the world's lies, and it begins this way. First, they flirt with sin from a distance. Then they get a little bit closer. And then they get to know it really well, and finally they're just living in sin. Why? Because they didn't consciously avoid walking in the counsel of the wicked. They did not avoid standing in the way of sinners. They did not avoid sitting with those who scoff at God. See, if we do not consciously avoid the devil's lies, which are concealed within ungodly counsel, we will find ourselves in the same situation that Lot found himself in. We will slowly, gradually, even perhaps without even noticing, we will drift away from God, drift away from his word. It's a big problem in the church today. Too many believers are swallowing the counsel of unbelievers, hook, line, and sinker, without even thinking twice, without even stopping to say, wait a minute, how does this advice compare to God's word? I mean, let's admit it, we spend far more time soaking in the ideas produced by the media than we do soaking in the thoughts of God from his word. Even the New Testament warns us of this in Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to the human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. The point of verse 1 is very clear. If you want to follow the path of God's blessing, then you must learn to discern. You must learn to discern truth from error. You must learn to avoid ungodly, worldly counsel. But godliness is much more than what you stay away from. Very important to realize. Godliness is far more than what you stay away from, but it involves what you love. So it's more than what you hate, but it's what you love or what you delight in, and that's what verse 2 is about. So not only do we need to avoid ungodly counsel, but we need to delight in the word. We need to delight in God's word. Look at verse 2, but his delight. So but, a word of contrast, instead of following the way of the world, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. So his delight refers to what he loves. It reveals his heart's affection. And so I ask you this morning, what is it that you delight in? Do you delight in the Bible? Do you find joy in the Scriptures? If you do, then it will lead to meditating on the Word, which in turn then leads to success and prosperity, the kind of spiritual fruitfulness that we see in verse 3. So what the psalmist is saying is that meditating on Scripture is the key to success in God's eyes. He's saying exactly the same thing that God said to Joshua. Now, what is meditation? Because it's becoming more and more popular nowadays. Well, the world says that meditation is emptying your mind. Emptying your mind and then just letting, just go free, baby. You know, and whatever comes in, you know. Or it's sitting on the floor, you know, crossing your legs. And, you know. So the world says meditation is about emptying your mind. That nothing could be farther from the truth. Biblically, meditation involves filling your mind. Filling your mind with God's truth. He is meditating what? On the law of God. He is filling his mind with truth. And this is something we need constantly because of our sin nature and because of the world that we live in. Our minds are already filled with all kinds of rubbish and lies. And so what we need is the pure natural spring water of the Word of God to fill our minds, which then will force out of our minds the dirty water that's there. So meditation is filling your mind with God's thoughts, with Scripture. The word meditate means to ponder. It means to think deeply upon a particular biblical truth. This is why we memorize Scripture. We don't memorize Scripture for the sake of memorizing Scripture. We memorize Scripture because memorization, hopefully, is going to lead toward meditation, which is where the real change happens. We all know people who can memorize Scripture very easily and spew it out, but that doesn't mean it has impacted the heart. That's not what we want. We want memorizing of Scripture that sinks deeply into our hearts and affects the way that we think so that we will live according to God. The word means to speak to oneself. Okay? So if you're ever looking for biblical grounds to say it's okay to talk to yourself, here it is. God says, talk to yourself. We naturally let our self talk to us all the time, Martin Lloyd-Jones said. We naturally think our natural thoughts. Now it's time to turn it around and talk to ourselves with Scripture. The word means ponder or moan, or it can even mean utter or growl. It's a picture of a cow, a cow chewing its cud. A cow's stomach has four compartments, and as the cow is chewing her food, she is moving it from one part of her stomach to the next, to the next, to the next, until every drop of nutrient is taken out of that food. That's the picture. Extracting the nutrients. If you want a more pleasant illustration, then think of a tea bag. Those of you who like to drink tea. What does a tea bag require? For the flavor to come out, it requires seeping, right? Seeping in the hot water. Donald Whitney used this illustration in his book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. He said, in this analogy, your mind is the cup of hot water, and the tea bag represents your intake of Scripture. Hearing God's word is like one dip of the tea bag into the cup. Some of the tea's flavor is absorbed by the water, but not as much as would occur with a more thorough soaking of the bag. Reading, studying, and memorizing God's word are like additional plunges of the tea bag into the cup. The more frequently the tea enters the water, the more permeating its effect. Meditation, however, is like immersing the bag completely and letting it steep until all of the rich flavor has been drawn out. That's the picture of meditation. Pondering the word, mulling it over in your mind over and over, maybe memorizing a verse or two a day, and then taking that with you. Maybe writing it on a 3x5 card and taking it to work with you, or pinning it up somewhere at home where you're going to see it, so that you are going to think repeatedly. Meditate on the Word of God. What does that do? It plants the Word deep within us. What does it result in? Verse 3, it results in spiritual fruitfulness and stability. Look at the beautiful picture. He, that is the blessed man, who avoids ungodly counsel but fills his mind and heart with truth is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. So he's fruitful, and its leaf does not wither. What does that mean? When the trials of life come, when the sun is really hot, when there's a time of drought, when trials and suffering come into your life, you will still stand strong in the Lord. Why? Because your roots have been firmly planted deeply into the Word of God. And the wind blows. And sometimes the wind that blows is not a pleasant wind, right? Trials come in all forms and sizes, and they're expected, but most of the time, there's times they're unexpected. You know, we can predict most storms nowadays because of our satellites. All the weather satellites that are up in space, we know when the storms are coming and we can prepare for them. And yet when it comes to storms of life that come into our lives as believers, we don't have that same kind of satellite system, do we? Oh, there are some laws of the harvest, and so you kind of know, well, if I do this, then yeah, this is going to come. I might not know exactly when, but yeah, it's coming. But most of the time, it hits us out of nowhere. Never expected. You know, never expected to hear the C word, cancer. You know, never expected to have someone in my family so close, so tender, so dear, die so suddenly. Never expected that the economy would change so quickly and the value of my house would plunge. Never knew. They come unexpectedly. But if you are firmly planting your faith deeply into the Word of God, then the storms may come, but you won't wither. You'll still prosper. What a wonderful truth that is. So meditating on the Word brings us stability and fruitfulness, and it feeds our desire to do the will of God. And it also, by the way, really can minister to our spirit, to our emotions. Did you know that meditating on Scripture is one of the antidotes for anxiety and depression? It's one of the ways to fight negative emotions. The psalmist said this in 119:24, "Your testimonies are my delight, they are my counselors." He goes on to say, "My soul clings to the dust." He felt like he was eating dust. He was that low. But then he said, "Revive me according to your word." See? So meditating on the word can fortify our spirits and sustain us in times of trial. If we understand Ephesians 6 properly, we understand that we only have one offensive weapon in spiritual warfare. Every other piece of armor is defensive. It's a shield. It's a breastplate. It's a covering of some sort. There's only one offensive piece of the armor, and it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Do you think the devil knows that? The devil knows Scripture better than we do, unfortunately. He knows how to twist it and turn it and keep us away from it. So do you meditate on the Word of God daily? If not, why not? What are your excuses? Pray. Perhaps it's time to just be honest with yourself and honest with God.
Meditating on God's Word is an important Christian discipline that allows us to follow God's righteous path and truly delight in the Word. What is filling your mind during the day? What plan can you put into place to read and meditate on Scripture? Are there any excuses that God wants you to repent of today? Your success in the eyes of God as a follower of Christ is directly connected with the priority you place on God's Word. If you'd like a copy of today's message, you can find it on many podcast platforms, or you can download it on our website at delightintheword.org. Pastor Paul also regularly writes on a wide range of topics of interest to any Christian. His blog is called Counseling One Another, and you'll find a link to his blog on our website. This program has been brought to you by Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. If you live near Cleveland, Ohio, and you're not already involved in a church, we invite you to visit us at Cornerstone. We'll continue studying God's Word next time as we, together, delight in the Word.